world. This is Hello Chaos, the podcast about the entrepreneurial journey. Yes, it's the entrepreneurial journey.
The worst word ever.
We have a podcast about what a terrible word that is, by the way. You can check it out on the list. But we talk about the highlights and the low points of entrepreneurship and hopefully the lessons we can learn and share with each other along the way. Podcast for founders, by founders. And we are so happy to introduce ourselves. I am Jennifer Oladipo, a.k.a. Jenno.
And I'm Jennifer Sutton, a.k.a. just Jen. Looking for a nickname. Actually, I do have a nickname. People call me JJ. That's my...
But I think... We are JJ. Somebody called us JJ.
They called us JJ together. The J and J's.
So you got to,
Or we're the Jens.
Yeah.
And then somebody was calling you J-O. J-O.
That's a common one.
And then, welcome to Hello Chaos. We're all celebrating the messiness of being a founder and entrepreneur. And today we have in studio a favorite founder that is Dion Sandiford. Of Cozy Covers, and welcome, Dion.
Thanks
for being here.
Thank you.
In the studio.
This is something. Nice studio. I like it.
I know. Makes it feel legit. You should pop back behind the screen.
I'm going to
check out the setup. Yeah. I was like, oh, we look fancy.
We are legit, Dion.
I can see.
We are.
My term is high cotton.
I like it. We're like a week away from launch at this point in April 2022. We're recording, so we're just pretty hyped about
we're
finally
so
getting this out here, sharing people's stories like yours. So please tell us a little bit about Cozy Covers.
Wow.
Or tell us a little bit about Dion's journey.
Yes.
Into creating Cozy Covers.
Well, let's start there, because there were two company names before this brand.
Because this is not your first company.
This is not my first. Well, and it's that's something that you and I talked about, whether Cozy Covers is a company or is it a brand under my already existing company, and that's something that I am talking to my lawyer about, which we'll talk about the importance of having a lawyer, and I think you know him, Doug Lineberry. So
both shout each other out.
That's right.
He is definitely helping me decide how to maneuver. But with that said, Dion Sandiford, and I started the first company name, which is A Celebration of Us. And that was just like a hodgepodge of a little bit of everything, and which is why it was called A Celebration. I celebrated us as an individual, us as a group. I would take all your old t-shirts and I would turn them into a quilt. So I did t-shirt quilts.
Oh.
I still do t-shirt quilts. Memory quilts of a loved one has passed away and you have all their clothing and you don't know what to do with them.
Mm.
I would turn it into a cherishable keepsake. And this way it gives you like a virtual hug and a reminder of that person.
Aww.
Before that came, I worked in corporate America, and I won't name companies. I did HR. Mm-hmm. I have a background in HR. I have a bachelor's and a master's degree. And I say that just to say what it is, because I don't. It's not paying the bills right about now.
But it's going to come
in handy.
But it's
part of your story.
But it does come, it does come in handy when I have to maneuver and I have to deal with customers and stuff. So I do pull back on my HR skills. So, but what was happening, I worked for a company and I met with a really tough individual. And back in my day, we call them Beckys. Now they call them Karens. And this chick just would not let up on me. And I just said, driving home one day, I said, God, this just cannot be my dash. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is the day you're born and the day you leave this earth, and that space in the middle is your dash.
On the tombstone.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I did not want my dash to be the last experience at this company. Mm-hmm. It just could not be. Mm-mm. And so I said, driving home in the rain. It's hard to drive home in the rain and crying at the same time. So he definitely was looking out for me. So, but anywho, with that said, I just said to God, and you'll hear me say G, which is the same thing for me. And I said, you told me all I needed was a mustard seed of faith. So, okay, here's the mustard seed. And I have a little bit of skills to go along with it. So make it happen, Captain, because I just can't do this anymore. I was doing home deck on the side for people. Mm-hmm. And I would do drapes and curtains and pillows and stuff. And so I knew I had the sewing skill set. Then once I resigned from the job, and I wasn't crazy. I did go get a part-time job. I mean, let's. And so I don't want anybody to out there who's listening to this. She just quit her job and didn't know.
It happens.
Yeah.
So some people do that. And I had some money saved up. And you never have enough money saved up. You just don't. Mm. So between the money I had saved up, going to get a part-time job, and just having just too much of what I was experiencing at work, I did my Fannie Lou Hamer thing, and I said, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I decided I needed to do something about it. So I started focusing a little bit more on the sewing and started to really put some energy into that. And then I was saying, I had a meeting earlier today and they asked me to tell my story. And it's always the same story because I'm never lying. It's just what's important at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I needed to do something else. It wasn't bringing in enough money if I wanted that to be if I wanted to move it from my side hustle to my main hustle. Mm-hmm. And when I say hustle, I don't mean necessarily working hard, just whatever my job is.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so I started to, anything that was free, anything that was low cost, anything that talked about business and how to start, and anybody who would give me a listening ear, anybody who did anything connected to business that would talk to me, I was front row and center.
When did you start to think of it as a business?
Driving home in the car?
Driving and crying.
Well, I didn't know it, driving home in the car crying, that it was going to be a business. I just knew driving home in the car crying that what I was doing couldn't be what I was going to do anymore. Mm-hmm. So when I thought about all the other things, because I could have easily just switched to another company in corporate America and became their HR personal trainer or something. Mm-hmm. Something inside me, though, said, you don't want to work for the man anymore. Mm. And I don't mean that negatively. Demand is, and it's D-A-M-A-N. It's just the establishment. Yeah. I just did not want anyone telling me anymore when I could go to lunch. You have to take lunch between X and X time, or you can only have X number of days to go on holiday. And mm-hmm. I was like, mm-mm. No, mm-hmm. I just didn't want that. So you know me, if I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it big. So I was just like, I'm leaving. I'm going to do this. So I was like, and then reality set in and said, okay, Heffa, so now how are you going to pay the bills? What are you going to do? So, and because I had the skill set of sewing, it just was a natural thing to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And with the sewing, I, again, meeting people and started going to seminars and stuff. Then I started to see, well, what could we make of this? And I really didn't start out being a quilter. Actually, the lady who taught me how to quilt, I went kicking and screaming because I said, these small little pieces of fabric, what am I going to do? And quilting is such, you have to have such patience for that and the accuracy. And I'm anal. This was really taking a lot. So I was just like, no. But anywho, all that to say, that just kind of got the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to look around for, like I said, different avenues, I came across, actually, Taryn Scheer.
Oh.
And so you
TKPR.
Guys.
TKPR. She's a PR maven in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes, she is. And anybody who has the opportunity to get to share energy with her, I highly recommend it.
She works with a lot of big brands all around the country.
Right. Yeah. Yes, and she is so awesome. And so luckily for me, she found something in me that just made her say, okay, I want to help you.
Sparkle.
It's Sparkle. That's she's found Sparkle. Lady. She's found, so she found my Sparkle. Boss. So yeah. I Sparkled.
And then did you find her like through an organization? Or
no,
how did you guys
actually,
get connected?
And it's funny. And I wonder if she has the same memory as I do. We, like I said, I was attending all kinds of events or anything. Mm-hmm. And we both were at an event. And I won't say the event because we both didn't want to be there. And for some, and that was my introduction to her. Uh-huh. And she said to me, there was just something about you. And so I don't know what that it was. I'm just glad it showed the day that I was in her presence. Mm-hmm. Because I remember I was doing my presentation because I just started sewing things. I was doing garment bags. I was sewing. If it could sell and it was legal, I was making it. Because I need to get some money coming in and stuff. So I was doing at that time garment bags and like I said, in my quilts and embroidery. So I was embroidering things for people. And so anyway, we had company together. Mm-hmm. And somehow we just connected and we met, I think, for lunch or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she really challenged me. And she said, I'm going to give you some homework. And she said, you can't afford me. She said, so don't even think about it. She said, and I love her honesty because she's right. I couldn't afford her. Yeah. So, but I didn't realize, though, that it was a test. Mm. And she said, you need to go to 5 events by yourself. You cannot take anyone with you. And they can't be places that you know. Or 5 events and you need to network. And I want to know those 5 events and it has to be able to be documented. And so I was like, okay, Effa, all right. So I did. I went to 5 events. Uh-huh. And so, and one of the events was a net night. So several years back.
You're going to have to explain that because everyone's not going to be.
Right. Yeah. So say several years back, the chamber, Greenville Chamber, had net night, N-E-T night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it brought together different.
It was a minority business.
It was a minority business opportunity.
Networking event. Mm-hmm.
And they've since grown the definition of minority.
Yep.
So I attended and I don't think I met Nika. I think I already knew
Nika.
So, and that's why I said, that's why you just always have to tell the truth because I can't remember half the stuff. So,
that's why I always say the truth is easier
to
remember.
It's just easier. So somewhere there, I did meet Nika at a net night. Say that 3 times fast. So while there was several people manning their tables and talking to minorities about their business and stuff. And I met Louise Cannell from BMW. And talking to her, I could not figure out a connection between me and sewing and BMW. Mm-hmm. And so I kept staring at her, talking to me, and I'm just like, I don't see it. And so finally she said, every company here has a logo. Mm. And she said, and you embroider. And I'm still staring at her.
I didn't click.
I know she's probably looking at me like, who is this chick? So anywho, it finally I had a light bulb moment. And she said,
an aha moment.
That was my aha moment.
That's your aha.
And she said, I'm going to give you some homework. I'm like, what is it? I don't want to give you homework. I'm here because of homework. So she gave me her book and she said, I don't have many of these. And actually, till this day, I still have the book. And it was a directory of all of the companies that attend the minority. It's not the minority. Mm-hmm. It's Diversity Supplier Program that BMW puts on every year.
Because that's what she headed up. So if anybody, like Louise, she's now since retired from BMW, but she was the instrument behind that organization of the supplier chain, the diversity supplier chain network. And that was she published a directory.
Right.
Anybody that was
a tier one supplier.
Yeah.
And this is BMW North America, and they have the manufacturing headquarters here.
Here, right. Mm-hmm. And so what she said was, you need to come to this event. And she said, here's the book. Go through the book and find companies that you can embroider their logo. She said, it's going to take some investment from you. It's going to take some money. And I was like, does this lady know? I had like bare strings. So I'm like, okay. So the one thing about me, if you tell me to do something, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I may not necessarily take the initiative on something, but if you tell me you need to do X, I will go do X. Mm. I will do that. So I listened to Louise and I did my embroidery and I packaged them up so nice. I have my little basket with the company and everybody likes a golf towel.
Oh.
So whether you play golf or not,
yeah,
you like a golf towel because it can also serve as a gym towel. Mm-hmm. So, and so I went and had those. And luckily for me, 4 out of the 5 companies that I selected, they were there.
Mm.
So I walked around and I saw Louise and I showed her my little basket and I wanted to get approval from the teacher. Like, see,
I did my homework.
And so I walked around to the different businesses and I have to tell you that was a hit. So now we'll tell you none of those people did business with me.
But it was a hit.
But I got their attention and they were pleased and they were like, wow, nobody's ever done this and blah, blah, blah. So think out the box.
Mm.
Think out the box and how you can get someone's attention. What was interesting though, the lady that I sat next to, we just started talking. You know how you go to the table and you sit and you chat.
Yeah.
And the lady that I was talking to, I did not realize was because she's still alive, Joan Benor, that heads up Benor Logistics.
Oh.
And that's a big logistics company here in South Carolina. And of course, they are a BMW Tier 1 supplier.
Right.
Now, I tell the story that had I known it was Joan Benor, I would have just sat there quietly and cut my meat and ate my vegetables. Because I thought she was, and that, this is going to sound bad, I just thought she was just a regular lady. And not that, and once you meet her, she's going to say, Deanna, I am a regular lady.
Right.
But you know how some, when you meet someone at the head of a company, you put them in this bubble.
Well, and it's a different kind of relationship when you're there with your business and you're trying to make ways.
Right.
You know, you feel like you're in a different relationship. You know,
exactly. So, and we actually didn't talk about my business at first. We just talked about my sewing. And just so happened her daughter was there, Jamie. And so I talked about my t-shirt quilts and sewing and the stuff. Just so happened Jamie either just finished a t-shirt quilt or made a t-shirt quilt. And so that just sparked a whole conversation.
And we connected.
And we just connected.
Yeah.
And we just found that bond there and started talking. And so it wasn't until after the announcements were made and Louise got up and talked and she says, and I want to thank Joan Benor for supplying the lanyards for the whole diversity program today. And I said, she said, then I got nervous. All of a sudden now, I'm just like, oh my God, I have been talking to this lady, talking her ear off about sewing. She's going to think I'm the biggest dweeb.
No.
And what happened, and so we exchanged and, you know, I call the exchange of pleasantries and light banter. And I went on my way and I was like, oh God, Dion, here you go again. What happened though, she called me, I want to say months later. And she said, you know, who she was. And do you remember me? I'm like, yeah, right. Of course I remember you. And she had an opportunity. She said, I need some golf towels done. And I need them done quickly.
Mm.
And I said, okay. And she said, I have no idea how much they would cost or whatever. So, I mean, I'm not going to gouge the lady. I was just like, let me do some homework and stuff. And so she said, and I remembered you. And so can you make this happen for us? And I was like, okay. I hung up the phone and did my little happy dance. All righty now. And so I did the towels and she was pleased. And so at some point in there, we talked about how she got back to me. She said, I knew when I met you that the passion that you displayed talking about your sewing, that you would do a good job. And I was just like, wow.
Passion to paycheck.
Well, and you know, that's so interesting because people try to hide that. It's like, I'm going to be professional. You know, like you would have come at it differently if you'd known who she was.
Yes.
You probably would have
been very stoic and been,
guarded.
Yeah, and guarded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And wanted to make sure that I mean, not that I would have destroyed the English language. I would have just been very careful to enunciate.
You probably wouldn't have gone into the passion for sewing.
Right. Yeah. I would not have done that.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
not have, because I would have thought that wouldn't have been a conversation that at this event wouldn't have been appropriate.
Right.
So
right.
I just thought I was just talking to a nice lady with her daughter, and we just all like sewing.
Yeah.
And stuff. And what came out of that, and I remember very carefully that it was the passion she said she saw in me. Mm. And so once I did that for her, then they gave me a little bit more and a little bit more. So I do they have tons of different departments. One of the things that they do for their drivers, they give the drivers their shirts. Mm-hmm. And so I embroidered the shirts for their drivers. And so I want to do more, and when they're ready, so hopefully they'll give me more. But right now, that's what I do. And I've been doing that for them since 2015.
Okay. Wow.
And so, they still use me. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. So was that sort of your first big client?
Yeah.
And how were you able to use that? I mean, did it make a big difference once you had a client like that, or was it not a big difference?
And was that under Celebration of Us, or did you form?
No, it was still a Celebration of Us.
That's still okay.
It's still a Celebration of Us. I don't know how I picked up, because I do business with Benoit and I do business with Bahrain. Mm-hmm. And Bahrain is another tier one supplier to BMW, and they make fasteners. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how Daniel found me. I'm just grateful that he did. And he started doing work. Now, Daniel was a little different. We're very specific on our color blue. It must be this blue. It is not a navy. It is not a royal. It is this blue. Yes, sir.
Sounds like they had issues.
Yeah, so he was very mean. Apparently people may not have. So I studied the blue. I got the PMS color. I got the CKY. I mean, all of the colors, you know, the different formats.
Yeah.
And I studied his blue. And he just had me do, I think, maybe two or three shirts for them. And I said, okay, I get what this is, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And because you have to earn your stripes. And so I took him the shirts. And before I did the shirts, though, I took him samples of blues.
Oh.
So I needed him to approve the blues.
Uh-huh.
And he did. He said, because he took me into this room with a whole bunch of guys, and I remember that, and he had me line them up, and they said, I think she's got it. She got the blue. So it was this whole big thing around
matter.
The blue.
So clearly, somebody did not get the blue.
Yeah.
Before you.
And I am not going to say on here which blue it is, because I don't want anybody else. No, I know I know the blue.
Hey, we just had an IP lawyer. That's probably some trade secret. Please don't say it here.
I'm not going to do that. And so from that, he had me do a couple of more shirts and a couple of more shirts. And then I got the department. And so they don't order as often as Benoit does, but when they do order, they order from me.
Mm.
And I am so pleased with that. And with working with Daniel, he has said things to me like, I like your, he doesn't use the word passion. I like your attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the way you treat me now, being a small company hungry, he said, if you remember this feeling, he says, because I want you to grow. He says, but I don't want you to grow if you lose that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that has always stayed with me. Mm-hmm.
That's great advice.
Yes, because I was always concerned that because I'm a small company, that I couldn't compete with the Cintas of the world and some of those other companies.
Yeah.
And I went into a meeting with Daniel, and he told me, he says, Cintas was here before you.
Mm.
And he says, and I'm going with you.
Wow.
They didn't get the blue.
They perhaps someone's attention to detail. Let me not judge if they didn't care, but they didn't.
Yeah. Either.
And what did you think about that?
I thought that was a wow moment for me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say they pay attention to detail. And a lot of companies, and you can't be in embroidery and not. So, that, I mean, that's kind of like a standard across the board.
Mm.
It's not just that. It's how do you make your customer feel? When they call you on the phone, how do you respond? How quickly do you respond? Do you, because he had one gentleman that was so hard to fit, meaning that he was very extremely tall and extremely skinny. So I couldn't go to just the tall shops because then the shirts would just fall off of him. And I searched high and low. And I think doing those types of things is what got Daniel to see that I'm in it.
Yeah, so you cared enough to make this one person at this whole big company comfortable.
Yes.
That says a lot.
So
that says a lot.
And I don't do it, or I didn't do it then thinking I'm doing it just to please him. I did it because it was just the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the customer had this one employee and it was tough. So I'm like, well, I'm Dion. I fix it. So I went out and I fixed it and I embroidered. And if you ever go back and see there, because Louise did, she featured me the next year. Mm-hmm. I was one of the features when they spotlight or highlight a company. I was this highlighted company.
Oh, like a supplier, highlighted supplier?
Well, not the supplier, the vendor.
Oh, I mean vendor,
Because we get to meet, we get to interface with the suppliers.
Yeah.
And so they did a highlight reel on me, and they showed the color blue. You just had to be there. And I know people are probably like, what is this with this blue? People take pride in their logos.
Yeah.
And I want customers to feel like I have that same level of pride that you have and stuff. So that's my Daniel story and my Bereng story and my Benor story.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing business with them and I'm so happy that they're happy.
And so now the business is Cozy Covers.
Let's fast forward because we can talk about this forever. Okay. So one of the things, and one more Daniel story. One thing with Daniel, very direct, very direct. And I love that about him. And he said, Dion, your name, it sucks.
The celebration of us.
The celebration of us.
Yeah.
No, not Dion. Yeah.
The
celebration of us. He said, if I did not meet you through Louise, I would never call you because you sound like an event planner, or a party planner. And I just don't like your name.
How did that feel?
I was like, okay, thank you. I'm like, what do you say? So driving home, I wasn't crying this time. I was just like, okay, he doesn't like my name. The name doesn't really say what it needs to say to get his attention. Mm-hmm. So by this time, I enrolled by that time into the MBA program.
Right. Minority Business Accelerator through the chamber.
Through the chamber with Nika White. And so I went in at the celebration of us. And I'm laughing because everyone agreed with Danny. He was like, yeah, your name is horrible.
That's right. That's right. Like, Dion and I are in the same cohort.
Okay.
And so that was back in 2018. And Dion, I remember you came into the class and you were like, I've heard from a customer that they don't like my name. And we had a code of about 20 people. And what do you guys think? And I just remember, like, yeah, we all hate it. We all, sorry, Dion, we all hate it. You need to start over.
And pretty much, so don't go in, you need a thick skin. So luckily for me, I'm cool when I'm in front of people. When I get home, it's a whole nother different animal.
Right.
I don't like to cry in public. I'm very, but at home, so I was just like, oh my goodness. So, okay. So I was charged then with my mentor that they assigned to me, Paul Clark, who's absolutely wonderful. And so we bantied, you know, around the different names and stuff, like what speaks to doing corporate embroidery, what speaks to being a stitching type company. Like we threw all kinds of stuff around and we came up with Corporate Stitch, a couple other names. So I came back to the MBA class and we threw out a couple of names and Corporate Stitch was born. Mm-hmm.
And that also does not sound like that passionate person. You know, there's no emotion there.
Wait, Corporate Stitch?
Yeah. Oh, I thought, okay.
No,
I cut you off. I was thinking Cozy Covers was like some next iteration.
No.
Oh, that's your parent company.
Right. So we went from a celebration of us to the MBA program.
Okay.
To then becoming a corporate Stitch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So now I graduate from the MBA program, and I'm out in the streets doing my thing as corporate Stitch, and I'm working with different companies and stuff. Now I still am a Celebration of Us. The Celebration of Us, that's my t-shirt quilts, my memory. Companies don't care about my quilts.
Mm-hmm.
And so because that was such an important part of me, even though Toby Stanzel was just like,
he's
like, Dion is never going to make any money. It needs to be your philanthropy. Then
So some of these, you know, these incubators, these accelerators, you are in this, like, you become this tight-knit cohort, and... you get very direct advice, and you let your vulnerabilities, you've got to let all that.
Yeah, you can't go in there.
You can't go in there with any kind of an ego or an attitude of I'm beyond this. You're really, and you get some good advice.
I will say you can go in with an attitude. You can go in with the ego.
You won't get as much out of it.
Right. If I went and go, no, I'm going to stay in Celebration of Us and I'm not going to be open to anything, I don't know what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did compromise. I still am a Celebration of Us.
Okay.
When you meet me, I assess what you want from me.
Oh.
Do you want a t-shirt quote, memory quote? Then you get this business card that's in this pocket. And you said, someone told me about you, and I have some shirts for my company. I'm a small company, but I need some embroidery. Bam! You are corporate Stitch.
That's awesome. So you didn't have to lose it.
And then plus the bank said that I could keep both names, and the money can go into the same account. And mm-hmm. I went to the state, and they said, you can disband this and spend all the money again becoming an LLC. I'm like, nope, don't have the funds. So they said, we can make this work. So that's how I got the two names. So now how do I get to Cozy Cover? Well, from the MBA program and graduating from that, there were all these other programs to then take you to the next level. And one of the programs outside of the MBA program is called Fearless Leaders,
mm-hmm.
and it's headed by Kathy McAfee,
mm-hmm.
and she offered a scholarship to the graduates of the MBA program.
That's right,
and like I said, remember, if it was cheap, it was free. When I say cheap, I really don't like that word. If it was not costly, and if it was within my budget, which was always really small anyway,
mm-hmm.
and I said okay. I applied for the program, mm-hmm. and I got it too.
That's why I added that funding button to the, we have a resource directory, mm-hmm. and one of the things I added, I was like, if it's free, I'm going to put this there, because then people like yourself can go in there and say, okay, I don't have the budget right now to invest money at least.
Right.
So I'm just going to, I don't want to spend 6 hours looking through things and realizing I can't afford it. This isn't for me. I can't afford it. This isn't for me.
That's right.
And also include in there, like SCORE. I talked to people at SCORE.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I talked to the Clemson small business. I forget the total name of it. So hopefully by the time you edit this, you can insert the correct word for. But Clemson also had a small business. So I was paired up with them. Like I said, anybody who would talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and again, going back to Taryn, we would meet periodically. Mm-hmm. And she would give me homework.
Mm.
And she would tell me what to do.
More homework.
Yeah. And I'm very grateful to her. And we still meet. And she still gives me homework.
That's awesome.
But you need that.
And I do. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not the one, I'm a little scaredy cat on some things, and as far as like the lack of confidence stuff, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just learned how to just acknowledge it, say hello to it, and just deal with it.
Mm.
And if you tell me what to do, then I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, going into the leadership program with Kathy McAfee, there was a cohort there, it was much smaller, and one of the gentlemen there, he's a logistics person, and he came to my facility, and he's like, Dione, that's what I said, whatever you call me, I'll answer to him. And he said, your place, it's, and I knew he was wanting to say, he's like, too much stuff, it's cluttered, it's, and he tried very hard not to say the word messy, and it was a disaster, I'm not even going to lie. So he came, and he said, one of my trips driving home, I'm going to come to your space because I just had him look at it through the camera.
Oh.
He said, I'm going to come to your space and we're going to work on that, Dione. You need organization. So he comes and.
And what he's talking about, is it like all the products that you've had over the years?
I was a company of just one person. Mm. So my mess, it wasn't messy to me because I knew everything, where everything was. From an outside person looking in, it looked like I had fabric. I had t-shirts. I mean, by this time I still had Benoit stuff that I was doing. And so it was just a mess. And I'm going to call it like it was. And so he came and he charged me with cleaning up. Mm-hmm. And he said, start at this section and just work your way around. Well, I had two friends there. And they were in the back and they were snickering. They said, if this man told you one more time that your place was a mess, we stopped counting at 10. So once again, the thick skin has to go out the window. So I clean up and they're helping me clean up. So they pull off the shelf this prototype of what's now known as the cozy cover. But back then it was just a cover that I did for mats.
Mm-hmm.
And the quick story behind that is I go to a church because of COVID. I don't know whether to say went or go. You don't physically go to church anymore, some people. And so while I was attending the church, because I sew, they would ask me to repair the mats.
And these are the mats that the kids
would sleep on in the daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And according to DHEC regulations, if a mat gets a tear or any of the inner parts of it, like the foam gets exposed, you have to discard the mat.
You didn't do that with my kid. Well,
according to DHEC rules, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Because that's just an incubator for bacteria.
Yeah.
And those mats are very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, Dee, can you fix these? So I would cover the mats. And then in listening to them, I would hear things like, the parents never find the right cover for it. They send the blanket falls off, the sheet doesn't fit,
mm-hmm.
because it's not a twin, and the smallest you can get is a twin, so it wasn't that. And the four corners, so I heard all of this stuff. And then there is a concept, and again, I'm a quilter now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a concept, a technique in quilting called aquilo. And aquilo is a blanket that when you fold it up, it folds into a pillow. And when you open it up, it's a blanket.
I have one. I made one. I learned to sew when I was a little girl. And right. I still have my
pillow.
It is a big square on the back of a blanket. And you have a way to fold it up. And it becomes a pillow.
Yeah.
And so in my brain, somewhere, I put the two together. And I said, if I can, and also too, covering those mats in vinyl and sewing them by hand was killing my fingers. And I know we're doing a podcast, but the one thing I do keep up on my fingernails,
For those who can't see, she has lovely beautiful. Nails.
Yeah. And they're real. They are real.
Oh, no, those are lovely nails.
They are real.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I am not breaking a nail for this church. So I don't tell you, this is real stuff.
That wasn't going to be your tithe? One of those 10 fingernails?
I love the Lord, but he cannot have my broken fingernails. It's not going to happen. So, but putting all this together, I said, well, what if I cover the mat that would keep the integrity of the mats longer? So this way it's not susceptible to, because the cleaning agents, the drying would cause it to crack and peel and break. And then listening to what the parents were saying, I said, well, what if I put a blanket with this so that it would fit? Mm-hmm. I already had the sleeve board. And then I said, well, what if I put a pillow in there? And that's how the concept was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, it sat on the shelf for years because then that's when I started thinking, nobody's going to want to buy this. This is silly. I mean, Dion, what were you thinking? And you're not good. I mean, all those ugly record things that you see in your head, that play in your head, and,
mm-hmm.
You're not good enough. Nobody's going to want this, yada, yada. And then at the time, I know everything is in God's timing. I do wish at some point God maybe given me this idea a little sooner to take it to market, because back then there wasn't anything on the market like it. There's a couple out there now because Doug Lineberry had me do my homework and I had to go and investigate who my competition is. And so when I went back to Doug And
the
my attorney. So you're gonna hear me say his name a lot now. So, but actually, when the guy came in and he said, "Deanne, do something with this," and my two friends, and so I cleaned it up and updated it, mm-hmm. and then I went to Jennifer Sutton, I went to her not as Brightco. I went to her as a fellow cohort, and I'm always respectful. I don't want to pick your brain. Mm. I just want to, like, just tell me the skinny. Mm-hmm. Do you think I stand a chance to do anything with this? And I thought I was just going to sit there with you for maybe 15 minutes or a half hour at the most. And
we were there for a couple hours.
I was.
Well, she brought a bushel. It wasn't just the mat. She brought, like, all of her stuff that was sitting on the shelf. So she was like, "Is there anything here?" Nope. Is there any? Nope. Come on. Let's go through this, like, basket of stuff. So, and then she like held up the mat, and I was like, "Oh, whoa."
And that's exactly what she did. She stopped in her tracks and said,
"I was like, let's back up here. I think there's a there.
Exactly.
But I don't know if there's a there.
Yeah.
Call Doug Limeberry.
Yeah.
And that was my homework to you.
And I'm telling you, I'm always getting homework. So I did. I called him on the phone and between you and Beth Beats, because I don't like cold calling people. I still don't like doing it.
I don't think anybody does it.
Some people just have
some
good skill set. Yeah, good at it. And so between you and Beth Beats, who's also in the program, she is the coach's coach.
Right.
In the Minority Business Accelerator program. Mm-hmm. And so he gave me some time and he said, "Before I talk to you, I'm going to send you homework. I'm going to send you a list of questions, and you need to have all this done and send to me before I decide if I'm going to talk to you or not." Mm. And I was like, "Well, all righty now." And I said, "Well, you don't know who he's dealing with, because I'm not afraid of homework." So I'm like, "Stand in line."
Also, just your persistence, because this all happened within like 3 or 4 days. I mean, it's not like it was, she had a, you know, conversation with, she literally left here then like that night or the next day. You had already reached out to Doug and mm-hmm. you had done your homework and got a meeting with Doug within the same week.
Mm.
So it's just doing your, like, when
you're
diligent and tenacious around when someone says do her homework, she did the
homework. I did the homework.
Yeah. She did the homework.
So I have a question about that. I mean, how do you assess that, okay, this is somebody because that I need to listen to? You know, how do you make that decision if you know that you're probably going to act on, or, you know, what is it that tells you I need to act on what this person says? Because you get a lot of advice, right, as an entrepreneur?
And you do have to decide who you're going to listen to and not. And I've just been blessed, because I can't think of another word, that God has put people in my path that have just been people who know their stuff. Mm. And because who just happens to walk into a meeting with Taryn Scheer? I didn't know her from Madam Man. She didn't know me from Madam Man. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's a divine thing. And people can talk about God all you want or not talk about God. I decided that that's my story. If you want me to tell a story, I'll be PC. Mm-hmm. If you want me to tell my story, it is just so saturated with God and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned, though, I listen to everyone. I don't act on everyone, because there's something, and I can't explain it, there's just something that I feel that this person means me well.
Mm.
This person I need to pay attention to. Because some people have told me some stuff, and I'm like, no, that's not it. I mean, I know what it is, but I know what it's not. And you're not. And so, like I said, and then plus two, Doug was already vetted by you, Jennifer, mm-hmm. and also Beth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew they weren't going to send me to a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of discern along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went back and I did my homework, and then now in the meantime, what you left off is Jennifer then calls me within this week time, and she said, "There's a program starting called Greenville Starts, and you need to get your application in. Oh, by the way, the application is due in 2 days. I'm like, man, oh, man. Okay, so I suck it up, and I fill out the application, and I send it in, and Brian Davis, who is the director for Greenville Starts, he met with me briefly over the telephone, and I filled out the application, and I got in. When I say got in, I mean like right under the wire, really right under the wire. And so now I'm still doing my homework for Dub. I'm in Greenville Starts, and Jennifer's saying there might be something here. We still got to talk about it. So by this time, Doug took a meeting with me, and we did Zoom, and he said, I think you should take this product to market.
Wow.
And he said, there's enough of a difference with what you offer and what you bring to the table, because I had to, again, show him my competitors and what they do and how they do it and what makes mine different and better. And so I was able to convince Doug, excuse me, I was able to convince Doug of that. And so now I go forth with the blessing of Jennifer and Doug, and I'm in this Greenville Starts program. So the Greenville Starts program is 8 weeks long, and they give you a flavoring of all it takes to run a business. So everything from marketing to branding to funding to venture capitalists to budgeting to all of that. And not necessarily how to do the prototype. I think that was just probably unique to me when I met with my person. But through all of that, I mean, they take you through this program. And it was 25 of us. And out of the 25, they said there would be an opportunity for 6 people that we select to pitch. And it was done based on the Shark Tank type setup.
To pitch to funders?
Pitch to get this grant, $5,000. And so, okay. And I really didn't think I was going to do that, because I was just there. I just wanted to get the essence of the program. And I decided, okay, we're just going to go for it. So what I didn't know was that I was behind the scenes doing this big elaborate video and stuff. I called on some people, like, can you help me do a video? And I don't have a whole lot of money, but I need to get this done. And Brian calls me and says, you need to have a 2-minute something, no more than 2 minutes. You need to have it in today. I'm like, between the homework and these deadlines that are, I'm like, God, I'm not Job. So anywho, but of course I sucked it up and I did it. I mean, I did it. And so out of all of us who submitted, 6 of us were selected, and I was one of the 6. And we had something called Demo Day. And Demo Day, that's when we all got up and we pitched our product. And I won. There were 2 other winners.
Hold on, let's celebrate that.
That's right. We'll celebrate those wins.
Really, really.
And Jennifer was there, and Kenzie, and a whole bunch of, and Beth, and a whole bunch of people were there. And
she's mentioned people from the MBA
right,
program.
Right, my MBA people. And the reason why I'm saying that, because the MBA program, you don't just, it's not one and done. It's a continuation. And we developed and I use my word friendship. You know how I feel about the word friendship. Mm-hmm. It means a big deal. So we develop relationships.
It's a community.
It's a community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we support each other in that community. So that's why I felt very comfortable, because I knew I didn't have the money to go and talk to Jennifer as a client.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why I said, would you give me some of your time to let me know if I'm going in the right direction? And she granted me that time, and I did not take that, and I still don't take that for granted. So to have them there on demo day to support me is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, I will never forget that. And so, yes, I was one of the winners. And from that, I was part of a group called Faith Activated. And I'm a big journaler. I journal. I, like when you're younger, they call it keeping a diary.
Yeah.
Unless you get a little older, it's called a journal, you know, and then you journal for manifestation. I mean, so there's all different levels to journaling. And so I was part of this group, And so we would share, I would share the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, I was afraid of doing hats, and I journaled about hats, and all of a sudden I got an order for hats, and then I got more and more. So journaling is like a big part of who I am. And so I shared with the group that I was part of the Greenville Stars and that I won the Shark Tank. But it's called Demo Day, but we've now coined it Shark Tank. And so she said, Dee, would you be willing to come and tell your story in Atlanta? Because you're coming to Confidence Activated. Confidence Activated was the big program that you put on yearly. So at first I was like, I got to stand on stage. I got to talk to people. And I was like, you know I suffer with image issues. Why are you going to put me and myself up there? So, and then I was just like, okay, Deanne, but you have to, you got to work out of, you got to work through this. So just go to therapy, get over it, and just suck it up. So now I'm on the stage. And she said, and bring that big A check. You know how they give you that big check?
Yeah.
So she said, bring that. She said, I'm going to bring the prototype and bring everything that you did at the demo day, bring it to... Because I think that's where I got the Shark Tank thing. She's like, everything you did at that Shark Tank, you need to bring it. So now I'm at Confidence Activated, and she calls me on the stage. And the community, she creates a safe environment. Rachel Luna is the absolute best. She's a certified master coach, neuroscience-based master coach. And so while I'm on the stage talking, I knew who the guest speaker was. The guest speaker was Jamie Kralima. I didn't think Jamie Kralima was in the room, because when you get these big name speakers.
Does everybody know who Jamie Link? Do you know who that is?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Okay, Jamie Kralima is a woman that started her business in her living room. She developed IT cosmetics, and she shared her story on how she got to where she is, and her big, huge claim to fame is that she sold her company to L'Oreal for $1.2 billion with a B dollars.
Yeah. Oh, how come? I just feel like I should know that story. I just feel like other people's stories get told a lot. Okay. I'm Googling. She is awesome.
But not a lot of people know her. Like, people know IT Cosmetics.
They know IT Cosmetics.
But they don't necessarily know her name. And she's, you know, it's a female founder, creator, innovator, that $1.2 billion, that's the largest buyout that L'Oreal has ever done.
Yeah, that's
in
what
their
I'm saying.
History.
I don't want to steal your thunder, Deanne, but I have my theories about why. I don't know that story. Is it the women? Is it the makeup? I don't know.
And you're nestling my thunder, because she played such a pivotal role. And when she got on this stage and she started talking, for whatever I said, she was weaving me into her story, because I told the truth. And that's what I tell people. I got up there and I'm like, tell the truth, shame the devil. I told people, I'm up here and I'm scared. I'm up here and I don't like the way I look. I'm standing in front of y'all and it's hard. I just got to do this. So just work with me, guys. Just hang in there with me. And then my P2P sisters, and you're like, what's P? Purpose to Flat Platform is another program. And when I say, the reason why I talk about all these different programs, you have to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
You have to. And when I say money was hard to come by, it was, and it still is. You just have to decide. You have to invest in yourself if you want to go further. Because had I just stopped at the MBA program, I would have missed out on a lot of stuff. You know, so there was P2P in the house. And then I went to a program with Courage Molina. Courage Molina is another coach, and she has a mastermind program. And so I invested myself by investing in her program. So all of this comes together. So I'm now finding myself on stage telling my Shark Tank demo day story. Jimmy Kralima comes up. And she's saying, yes, Deanne, I know what it's like to not have family support. I know what it's like to not have people believe in you. I know what it's like. And she kept just feeling, I know what it's like to have image issues. Now, to look at her, I didn't see it. And it speaks to just, you're so much more critical of yourself than what other people are. And so, and I'm just like in awe, and I'm just just listening to her, and that she's even saying my name.
Right.
And so as she's speaking, she says, I want to do three things. And I still can only remember the two things that she said. One was she wanted to give every woman in the audience a bracelet. You know, like the whole Oprah thing. You get a car. And so she gave away this beautiful bracelet. And she said, and I want to invest $10,000 in the purchase of Cozy. And it wasn't called Cozy Covers. It was called Comfy Covers.
It was or
a comfy something.
Something.
But it wasn't Cozy Covers.
Right.
And
oh, what? Oh, so she just announced to the crowd that she wanted to invest $10,000 in your business.
Yeah. She placed an order for $10,000 worth of the covers.
Uh-huh. Right. Because the name Doug hadn't done any of the her attorney hadn't IP'd anything yet for the name, and so it was just the made up placeholder name.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Okay. And so, and then there's some video out there of me saying, I don't know what it's called because my lawyer didn't tell me I could call it either. So she said, whatever the name is, just make sure two get to my house and the rest you donate to shelters and daycares.
Oh my goodness.
And so, and then I'm like, okay. So before this, before she made that announcement, Rachel Luna, because part of what she does with her Confidence Activated program, she has her own mastermind program. Mm-hmm. And I so badly wanted to do it. And I couldn't because...
It's $7,500.
$7,500. Now, mind you, I just won five. So I was like... and
that's going to the attorney.
And that's going to the attorney. So I said, God, if you could just let me pay for this 1 month, because she had a payment plan.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you can come up with the rest of the money for the rest of the program, I got this 1 month. So I'm thinking in my head, okay, I'll write a check, or if they let me, I'll go back because again, I'm in Atlanta. I said, mm-hmm. I'll drive back to Greenville and I'll move some money around.
Mm.
Well, and I wrote in my journal, God, please make this happen. I need the money for the mastermind class in the next 1 to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is your child. and somewhere around here, I have my journal with me. If I could go get it, you can see it. It's right in my journal. I wrote it out. And so then.
Yeah, no, go grab
you're
it.
Like, you're like, okay, come on, G. A little funny note. So Beth Veach, who is, like I said, the coach's coach, she's part of our, you know, the entrepreneur community here in Greenville. My favorite story of her meeting Dion, that as she was coaching Dion, I just got to go talk to G about this. I got to talk to G about this. And Beth was like, it took me about 6 months to realize, oh, G is not a, like, she thought it was a person. She's talking about God. Okay, now I got it.
Yeah. wait, let's see that cover on this camera here. Because it's so pretty on camera one here. Oh, camera two.
There we go.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Any of them.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to do this. But anyway.
There you go. It's
and
pretty.
It says believe.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's interesting, Jamie Kralima's book mm-hmm. is called Believe It.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like IT and he had the cosmetics. Mm-hmm. Right. So
I can understand, though, why you don't remember that third item.
Once she told me, I was like, okay, I don't know what happened. So when Rachel Luna was speaking, and I wrote, I mean, here's the proof, because this is the journal that I took with me to Confidence Activated. So I wrote in the beginning asking God to just bless me on this conference. And then on here it says, God, I just signed on to pay Rachel Luna $7,500. Please make it happen in 1 to 2 months.
Wow.
It's right there. And when she then gets up, meaning Jamie Kralima, and she does the $10,000, mm-hmm. I was over the moon with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I'm going to pay Rachel Luna $7,500 to allow Dion to participate
in the
mastermind class.
I'm gonna cry.
So I am Dion. There's video out there, and all you can see is my hands shaking like this. And I'm just saying, ma'am, is this for real? Ma'am, is this for real? Because no one has ever done that. I mean, and I keep this because I want people to see this may not work for everybody. Mm-hmm. This is what works for me. Mm-hmm. It's my faith, and it's journaling, and it's believing in something bigger than you. Mm-hmm. It's just believing that you can, not that I can do it, because trust me, I have tons of fear around, am I good enough? Can I pull this off? What can I do?
It's that imposter syndrome.
It's that whole imposter syndrome. And it's just, okay. And I just reach out. I just do it and just do it afraid. Mm. And now I'm working through Rachel Luna, and it's so much not doing it afraid, but just saying hello to fear. Okay, sit here. You're gonna come along with me for the ride. So might as well just say hello, let's shake your hand. We're old buddies now. Just have a seat, because I'm still going forward. So you do what you need to do, but I'm just gonna still do me. Mm-hmm. And just working through Faith Activated just has really been a great support system for me. Just like the MBA program, mm-hmm. just like P2P, Purpose to Platform, just like Courage Molina's program. Like you have to find a good community, because not all communities are good. Mm-hmm. And so if this is your podcast is for the good, the bad, and the ugly,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Find a good community and be careful with whom you share your dreams with, because people are peeing your Cheerios and want to tell you it's new milk, and it's not.
Yeah.
And I just said that. Sorry, guys.
No, that was fantastic. I've never heard you say that phrase before.
I've never heard it.
I was about to tell the truth. Sorry. You might want to edit that out.
No, that's perfect.
We've been sitting here waiting for some Cheerios.
So, but with that said, finding the right community has just been...
It's empowering.
So it's empowering. And yeah. then, and not to take... Working with Jennifer, and not just because you're here, you saw something in me, because I really came just for you to say, yeah, I think you got something here. Mm-hmm. Like, go forth, my child.
And she said, go forth, my child.
And so when I got back from Atlanta, and I've been wanting to take Jennifer out, just the fact that she said, Dee, I think you may have something here. Go talk to Doug. And I just wanted to take her out to dinner just to say thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to go out to dinner until I got back from Atlanta. So that's when I shared the story with you mm-hmm. about what happened to me with Jamie Kerlima. And then Jennifer said, I have something to share with you. And she said, we decided, meaning she and her team, mm-hmm. that we're going to help you make this happen. So I'm like, okay, thank you. That's nice. And... And so she was with Kimberly.
Well, because you came back and you're like, I don't know what to do next. Here, right. I've got this business idea. I went through this accelerator. Now I've got this order for $10,000. I don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. Like, what is my next step? And that's what I was like, you know, BreakCode, the agency, the marketing firm, I was like, we all decided as a team that we wanted to help you figure out what that, like basically build the brand.
Mm.
Because that's what Doug was saying. You need to have a brand.
Right. That's important.
And that's what, you know, what is that platform? What is that foundation? And that's what I was like, we're going to do this for you. And he's like, all right, whatever.
And I didn't get it. I didn't know what that meant. And I thought, you know, she would just take another meeting with me and she would give me homework and tell me what to do. Was I wrong? Yeah. Was I so wrong? She and her team.
And somebody else was on my team that kind of pulled Dion aside and was like,
you don't get it.
I don't think you're getting what she's telling you.
And it was Kimberly. Like,
what? What are you talking about?
That would be Kimberly.
Kimberly's like, listen again. And I was like, what? And Kim's like, say it again. And I said, we're going to help you build your brand. And you're like, I have no idea what that means. And so Kim kind of, this Broke is what down, we're
yeah.
going to do.
Yeah.
And that was another aha moment.
Brand building, people can be in business for years and not really even understand that their brand sucks. You know.
And then.
And doing it right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then having the right people behind you that believe in you and want to help, because once Kimberly explained everything to me, you could literally, like, if there was a camera on me, you could literally see the moment that the light bulb went off. Mm. And I won't curse here.
You can.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh shit. You're going to do.
This is the oh shit
that's
moment.
That was my oh shit moment. Yeah. I'm like, you're going to do that for me? Like, wow. Really? Dang. I mean, because it started sinking in because Kimberly broke it down for me. And I'm like, I mean, you are a $1 million company and you're doing your thing. I'm like, you're not going to spend. That's why I thought she would just give me little morsels.
Some more homework.
Yeah, pretty much just give me homework. Because I'm good at doing homework. I've proven that. I will do the homework. So I'm not scared. Yeah. So, but it's more than that. I mean, they really invested in me. And when the launch day came and you got up to speak, she did. She treated me as if I were a paying client writing her a check for her services. Mm-hmm. You did not in any way, anyone on your team, make me feel like, girly, this is what we're doing for you. You need to be grateful. Mm-hmm. But none of that. And me being the type of person I am, I'm just like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And at one meeting you said something about your clients, and you weren't talking about a specific client. You just said, some of my clients are just not as receiving as you are. And I'm like, how could they not be? Look at all what you do. Your whole purpose is to make them look good. How could they not be grateful for that? She said, oh, you'd be surprised. And I'm just like, well, if I could ever sing your praises, then I will. Because the amount of energy and attention to detail. I mean, they told me what font to use, what font not to use, what color font to use, what size the font need to be, how I need to look in print, what colors, this color blue, that color blue, this not, I mean, back to the blue. And then the logo and the love that they took to put the logo together. I mean, I felt like, I used the word before, the phrase before, high cotton. I was the highest of cotton. Mm. And so when you put all of that together and it's like, okay, so how did you get, because I guess the question that we started out with, I don't know how long we've been talking, is how did you go from here to there? This has been my journey. Mm. My journey has been sprinkled with people who care, who believe in me. It's been sprinkled with God and knowing that there's someone greater than me. It's been sprinkled with hard work. This is not for the weak. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, because when you asked me earlier, so D, how's things going? I am overwhelmed. It is hard. Mm. Because after the launch. And
right, that was just a few weeks ago, right?
The launch was, it hasn't even been a month yet.
No, it hasn't even been a month.
Right. A few weeks ago.
And so I had this big, like, wow moment, and the room was filled. I was like, people don't get to hear this about them until they're dead. I mean, because people were just saying such good stuff and about the product, and I had people there, and I also wanted to be held accountable for meeting the demands that Jamie Kralima put on me, mm-hmm. and I had to document that. It was important to me to document it. So I had people there come up and get their covers, because mm-hmm. I wanted it videotaped, because I wanted her to see Lady look. You invested in me, and I didn't take your money, and I didn't go to Acapulco.
She delivered like 10, 15 bags full of these mats to the people at the event. Wow.
And they came up and got them.
Yeah. Right.
And I am pleased to say that One Day Care has already took me under, I can't say her wing, she's already pulled in my product. Oh. And she's going to make it a requirement for when the parents have to enroll their kids, they purchase a cozy cover. And to me, the parents, I think, will also be pleased because they don't have to then worry about going out and find something that is going to fit the mat because it's designed, it's there. Mm-hmm. And if they want it embroidered, we can talk about that. So there's some other built-on things that we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then there was another lady there who purchased some on the spot for her at home daycare. Mm. And that's, I wish I could remember Felicia's last name, but it's Felicia. And she believes in me. So to think that I'm out there, it's nothing better to know that you have a product that can help people and make money. Mm-hmm. So, that's like totally cool.
Well, so what is it that's overwhelming?
Now I'm at the point, because I sew, I've made them. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to sew more faster. Mm-hmm. So I need to find a manufacturer. Well, to find a manufacturer, you need to have a prototype. You need to have, and I already have a prototype, but you need to have an electronic pattern. You need to have this, this, and this. And So that's where I am now. And then, okay, we're going to talk some real stuff here.
Yeah.
All my money went to the launch.
That's what I was going to stop and say. The one thing, that I thought was real special of what Dionne did, she kind of took a moment, because she could have just taken the logo and all the, and just said, okay, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got my stuff. The website's live. I'm moving ahead, head down. But she took a moment and said, I'm gonna celebrate and do basically a celebration, or we call it an entrepreneur shower. And you invited all of your community, mm-hmm. of all the people that had given advice along the way, supported your mentors, your coaches, and you threw a party. Like, mm-hmm. this wasn't, she had a full out like band or DJ. She mm-hmm. had, full spread of food and drink. And I mean, it was a party for a couple hundred people, mm-hmm. Which a lot of entrepreneurs kind of, we forget that, a lot of times you just kind of go, all right, I've done it. Now let's move ahead. But you took that moment. But yeah, you spent money on that.
It sounds like just what you described. It's just a different way where you're caring enough about the people who helped you that you want them to get something back,
I would love to sit here and say that that was all my idea and it's wonderful. And yes, Dionne wanted to say thank you and all that. Now, the Dionne wanting to say thank you is absolutely correct because I wanted to do that. Someone pulled my coattail and they said, actually, they said, Heffa, we're about sick and tired of you. That's really what they said to me. And one thing, I surround myself with people who give it to me straight.
Yeah.
Straight, no chaser. And they said, what happened to you in Atlanta is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First of all, what happened to you at Demo Day is big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then to have that experience on the next level with a person like Jamie Kerlima pour into you, when are you going to stop and smell your success? Because I'm always thinking in my brain, I'm not a success. I got to do the next thing. Okay, I got this. And so
that was a success.
And they stopped me and they said, Dee, you have got to celebrate your win. So that's the whole energy behind the launch.
Well, it was still your call, though.
It was me.
It wasn't your idea.
It was me sending thank you notes to everybody who helped me along the way. That's what Dionne was going to do.
Mm.
Dionne was going to acknowledge that. And then when they said that, I'm like, you know what? I do need to say thank you. And I need to say thank you in a public arena.
Mm.
And it was going back and forth. Okay, Dee, you picked a Saturday. That's not the best news day. And Lord, we had so many discussions over that. And, stuff. And I said, you know what? The news will come.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. The world is going to know about this because it's just the way it's supposed to be. I can't explain it. I journaled it. People laugh at me because my next thing is I'm going to be with Gayle King. That's and right. We are going to talk about
she's written
cover.
It's in this book. It's manifested.
It is written.
We hope it's manifest. I've asked her to put stuff about Orange Weather and Hello Chaos in her journal because it's like the magic manifestation journal.
And things just happen. And so I really wanted it to be a way of me saying thank you to people because that was not a small win. And not that I underplayed it. I'm just thinking, okay, now I've achieved it. What's next? Like, there's always the next for me. There's always the next.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen next? So with the launch and with Jennifer behind me and her team behind me and me wanting to say thank you because so many people helped me along the way. So, okay, so now the launch happened. It's over. I looked at the account and I was like, oh, shit. Did I really need to have this party? Should I have sent this money to the manufacturer for the down payment for the next X hundreds of cozy covers that he needs to make? And I said, no, Dee, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So when I'm saying now I'm overwhelmed, I am grateful. Let's not get it twisted. I am grateful for everything that has happened. And with this cozy cover, the money's going to come. Now, has it been tough? I'm going to tell you, I refinanced my house for this. When people, like real entrepreneurs, they will, if they tell the truth, they will let you know, cash flow is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the lack of it, whew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if there's a grant out there, I'm applying for it. If there's anything that I can get, any kind of funding, anything, mm-hmm. a low interest loan, I went back to the EDL loan and to see if I can get an increase there. I am back at bootstrapping this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so now any day now, I'm waiting to hear if my house is going to get approved for refinancing. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you, and again, talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because I don't work for someone,
yeah.
I don't have a W. Is it W-2?
W-2. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I tell you the financing companies rake you over the coals.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to document your income. I had one person said, you got a check for $9,000. Well, what did you do? I said, I worked my ass off. And he said, no, I don't know. He says, no, where did it come from? So I told him where it came from. Well, you have to document that. I said, what do you think? This is dirty money? Like somebody, I wish at this point, I wish there was an illegal person that said, can I funnel money for your business? You know what? If I wasn't such a believer, I might have thought about it for 1.27 seconds. And I'm like, mister, because you get these wins, you get this $9,000 invoice, and then you get a couple hundred,
mm-hmm.
because I do business for small businesses. So if you come to me and you need only 12 shirts, that's not going to be $9,000.
Right.
It's going to be a couple hundred. And depending if you like Nike, it's going to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
You know, so to see the highs and the lows and having to explain every line item on my P&L and how did I get the money that I get and how am I able to pay my mortgage? I mean, they knew me from my rooter to my tutor. I didn't have not one secret.
And you're so, like, I'm just trying to refinance my house.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll share here. I owe, and that's why I wanted to pay this house off so badly. I owe less than $80,000 on my house.
Hmm.
And I wanted to pay that bad boy off. So what I do? I refinance it so I can take the money from that and put it into my cozy cover because I want this to work. That's how much I can taste it.
Mm-hmm.
So I will share with you, if I were a married person or if I were a parent, I probably would have made different decisions. If I mess this up, somebody's going to let me sleep on their couch and give me a ham sandwich. Until I can go, and I can always go back to corporate America. I mean, I still have 2 degrees. I didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked at Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I had my little happy soap up at 5:30 in the morning. My pleasure. I went home, took a nap, woke back up, embroidered, and then delivered in the afternoon. So, yes. So, this is, entrepreneurship is a wonderful thing. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you're doing something like this because I think people want to show all the glamorous stuff like on TikTok. And I don't know how to do TikTok, but Instagram and all that. They show you all their fancy stuff. Well, the stuff behind the scenes is gritty. And the stuff behind the scenes, it's real.
It's
and
brain it's sweat,
hard.
Too.
Like, it's real. It's scary. And it's just me. Now, when I say just me, meaning my household is a household of one. I have a great team. I have 2 ladies, Faye and Pam, that work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laughing because they'll say, when I get on their nerves, they're like, you're being Dion. Meaning that my analness, Dion, no one's going to see this. I will know.
Yeah.
And he said, but we are the public.
Yeah.
And we know what can go and not go. So they have really honed me in and stuff. They said, if we let things go by your... She said, you will never grow. So they're great for me. So that's everything. That's from Cozy Covers. That's from A Celebration of Us to Corporate Stitch to Cozy Covers to now finding me a manufacturer.
All right, you were right. Jennifer was like, you just have to hear her story.
That's right.
And she never really had details. And I'm like, okay. You know,
because I don't want it. It's not my story to tell.
That was excellent. And we're out of time. But thank you so much.
Thank you for
sharing.
Letting me. Just thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really feel like so many people will be able to connect to what you're saying and will appreciate that you're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know how many people you touch. I have something to suggest to you when we're done, and I'm saying it now so I don't forget. It's a fun thing. It's a fun
because it's recorded.
Yeah.
No. But no, Dion, it's 2018. I feel like that cohort kind of changed my viewpoint of entrepreneurship, and I really felt like I found my community for the first time.
Because you already established successful business.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I didn't feel that way. You know, I mean, so, you know, I had started the business in 2013. I had always been in my category, but mm-hmm. I hadn't run the operations, like, you know, actually doing the finance and all that. And it's, so I enter the cohort really more of a, am I kind of validate what I'm doing is right or, you know, or not. And can I learn from it? But I felt it was the people that I guess, connected with and learned and grew from more so than just the homework. And, I mean, that was great. And I learned, you know, I was like 70, 80% I was doing right. Mm-hmm. There were 20, 30% I needed to do better, and I learned from that. But it was really just the wow, people are all speaking my language of I had the imposter syndrome. I call it ghost in my head of those ghosts that tell you you're not good enough or, you know, that those vulnerabilities and those insecurities. And walking in that room and hearing 20 other people saying the exact same thing and feeling the exact same thing was so empowering. And I didn't want to lose that community, you know, so that was one of the reasons I'm like, I love our cohort, but that's why I'm also a coach in the MBA program. So
yeah,
I can,
she's a coach.
So I can continue. So it's not just about, and I've connected with other people in past cohorts. So, and then also with GVLs, just trying to connect with the different entrepreneur communities, mm-hmm. you know, the cohorts across here, but also nationally. And it's, and you hear the same themes, of both, you know, some are more apparent in certain genders, like, you know, there's woman, female founder issues that we kind of all kind of theme against. And then just, I would say people that really came from nothing mm-hmm. that we, you know, I was the breadwinner in my household. So, because a lot of times I think females, you know, women owned businesses who are married, kind of get the stigma of, oh, well, it's easy for you to start. It's either easy for you to start. It's a hobby. So it's, you don't get the legitimacy or the credibility, or it's, well, lucky for you, if you start up or fail, you've got a salary to I was like, yeah, but when I left the agency, it was a cut of 60% of our household income.
Wow.
I mean, it was a huge,
with kids,
and we had four kids. I mean, it was a huge risk. And, you know, it's not like I had daddy's mm-hmm. money. I wasn't a, you know, trust fund, nor did I have this like super rich husband that was like, yeah, yeah, honey, quit your job. It's, you know, mm-hmm. I was the majority. Mm-hmm. and I felt like, okay, now I'm in a community of people, not just here locally, South Carolina, or nationally, but there's a lot of more people like me. And so it was good to have those communities. And you have other, like you're branching out into like the journaling community and your faith community. And before we go, I know that we're trying to wrap up. And one thing I remember, I don't know who said it to you, but they also kind of resonated with me too. But somebody said, you know, when you talked about like there are people peeing in your Cheerios, because that happens. You get people that are those naysayers,
yes.
that negative energy. Mm-hmm. And I would call it the Monday morning quarterbacks. Mm. They tell you, well, you should have done this, or, oh, you're working with that. Like, oh, well, you should be doing these things. And somebody was like, you know, how do you discern whose advice are you going to take? And it was, you know, there are people that are going to be those naysayers or those Monday morning quarterbacks, but they don't often show up.
Mm.
So rely on the people that not only are supporting you and got your back, but they're showing up. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't talk about that enough. Of because you're right, there's a lot of people that will reach out when you start, and they're, you know, you get the LinkedIn messages and whatever I can do to help, but they, when you call, they ain't coming.
Mm-hmm. And he's one in the arena with me fighting, like Brene Brown says, yes. You can't be in the stands talking about me. I need you down in the field with me.
Right. Or if you're on the outside of the arena, you're not in my arena.
You're not in my arena. Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you so much, Dion.
Can
everybody
hear this beautiful? So you can listen to this podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify or iTunes or some...
I made one up earlier.
Made one up. Potbot or whatever.
It was Hot Bod, Bod Pod.
But any of your podcast platforms, you can listen to it. You can also watch, because we are on video. So you can watch
all
the video.
All of us looking beautiful.
We're looking fantastic in the Hello Chaos studio here. But you can watch those on the Orange Whip website. So that's orangewhip.com. Or it's going to be distributed in our local city zines that we're launching in the 3 South Carolina markets with very, very soon. And that's gvlinnovates.com, chazinnovates.com, colainnovates.com for Greenville, Columbia, and Charleston markets. So go take a look. And we want you to subscribe and share and comment. We want to hear from you. What topics do you want to hear? Who would you like to see on here? You know, come on. Take a listen. But thanks for listening and watching to Hello Hello Chaos.
So thank you.
You are so welcome.